Oh, this is 3D Up Close and Personal.
I'm David.
I'm Danielle.
And I'm Daryl. 3D Up Close and Personal, episode 15, Starting Over. Starting over. Starting over could be a whole gamut of situations. Let's say starting over from divorce. And how do we deal with that? Anybody have any input on it?
Well, depending on your circumstances of the divorce, starting over can be like from getting run over by a train. After the judge has ruled on the divorce.
Now, would that be emotional or financial?
Or both?
All the above.
Oh, wow. Man.
Starting your whole life over again, replacing your whole identity of being married versus... Sometimes you can't even call yourself single. You got to call yourself divorced or get over that stigma.
After 10 years being divorced, I think you could call yourself single again. Hey, I paid my debt.
Give me a break. See, starting over depends on your financial status.
My pockets are kind of light. She got half of the money.
Because some people can start over and they would be okay, but some people in the poverty level, starting over, they might have to live with a relative or a friend, or maybe rent a room. Not rent an apartment, rent a room and start over again. It depends on how bad the breakup is and the financial status of that person.
The way you're talking, it sounds like you've been looking in my purse.
What about starting over and dating?
One of our episodes, a lady
caught her husband cheating
after 25 years. Now, for her to get back in the dating pool after being out for 25 years, that's like an eye-opener.
Whoa, a lot of things have changed in a dating game in 25 years. I remember exchanging phone numbers on paper.
25 years, a lot of things can change.
I remember those days, exchanging numbers on paper.
Put some age on you, okay, fine.
Sometimes it's good to get older. You lived to tell the story.
Yes, yes. Starting over with children. If you're going to be the main guardian, taking care of the children, whether it be man or woman, that could be a challenge too. The man might have been a great father and end up being a lousy husband. Kids is crazy about him. He does everything right for the kids, but the man and wife does issues in their part of the relationship. And that could be a challenge right there.
Those are all big challenges. Having the kids living in separate homes, a kid goes from having one home to having two homes or a weekend home with a weekend parent.
They have a program called Kids in the Middle. It empowers children, parents, and family during and after the divorce through counseling, education, and support.
This is a list about how to rebuild after a divorce himself, not necessarily a family. They're saying to let yourself feel. Don't cover up the feelings. It's better to recover in the long run by just letting yourself feel all those. Talk it out with a therapist. Embrace coping skills. People in divorce are in survival mode and are often not focused on their own well-being. That's important to take care of yourself. Work together to focus on the children. Remember that you're going to be co-parents for life. So embrace that role and work to make decisions for your children by putting them first.
I agree on that co-parenting for life. However, once those kids get grown, they can visit mom and dad separately, and you may only see the ex at a child's graduation, wedding, maybe help the child move out or to a new place or a birth of a grandchild, or the child or grandchild was in a terrible accident or got sick and was at the hospital. In most cases, seeing the ex will be minimal.
They might have to deal with them on and off, but not constant, especially once the child gets grown. And the child is independent.
Much less after they become an adult. Maybe not, maybe almost none at all.
First experience, that's how it's been. Because I'm older, no matter who was at fault, it's stuff that you just need to let go.
They say having resentment is like drinking the poison and hope the other person dies.
But it's something that they go out to let go so they can move forward. Because that's how you're going to start over.
During the divorce process, some may cry. Some may be angry. Some may be sad. But hopefully they get over it and move on.
Starting over from a natural disaster.
I mean, you're talking about your basic needs, man. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully the government and your insurance company do something for you. Because there's a lot of people that have been screwed by the insurance company. It was a flood.
Unfortunately, we're not going to cover your claim.
Wait a minute. I've been paying you $150 for the last 25 years. I never made a claim. And now you're saying you can't help me.
If you read your policy under item 25.3.4.0, it was recommended to get additional flood insurance. In small print, we also claim we do not cover acts of God in certain circumstances.
You see it on the news. when they had these natural disasters, the people that don't have no insurance and really they live in check to check, they ballin'.
We lost everything. How can we go on?
Now, the people that's got insurance, and they have some financial means. They said,
we will rebuild.
And sometimes a disaster like that is enough to take its toll on a relationship. It can end up being a relationship test. It will test the tensile strength of the relationship where the disaster, especially if it has financial ramifications, if it's large enough, it might take the two people out.
I heard of a natural disaster where this woman and her husband, they had some issues. But they got separated because of the flood. Because of the limited room, the woman went to her mom and dad's house and the husband went to his mom and dad's house. But there might have been more to the story. Sometimes parents don't really like the people that their children chose. You can stay here, but
your choice can't stay here.
I got you. We got everything here to help you rebuild and start over.
What about my husband?
Him? Who is that?
That's my husband.
Him?
Unfortunately, you can't choose the people your children love.
FEMA might kick in, Red Cross might kick in, maybe Habitat for Humanity. It's not instant. That's the time you just have to endure. You might be in the local gym sleeping on the cot for a month with 300 other people.
Oh, that sucks.
Unfortunately, when you start over like that, you don't see it on TV.
Breaking news. There was a major disaster in your town.
You see the eye of the storm. You see ground zero. And then about a week later, they on a whole other topic. They're not doing no follow-up on your town. Your town's still shot. Maybe your local news is, but national, they gone on to something else.
Starting over from a natural disaster, you may have lost everything and the money is low.
You go to the resale shop, if you got a little money, and you can get some used stuff. They have Craigslist where they give away. The mind frame, this is temporary. When things get better, you can upgrade. You can get rid of that stuff. It's not a license that you got to keep that 20-year-old couch that somebody else had. It had a rip in the side. It's just temporary. It's for the beginning of the rebuild start. Nope. So the car is 37 years old. With 200,000 miles and it smokes down the street. It's the start. It's the rebuild start. Yeah. We'll move on from that. What about starting over from losing a mate? We talking about like from death.
Oh, wow.
You died on me.
It's probably hard to do.
That's a big one.
From losing a mate or a loved one, a parent can lose a child or lose a parent. I mean, because sometimes a parent-child relationship, even though the person is grown, they still have a tight bond.
My daddy was good to me, and mama was good to me, too. And now, they gone.
Yeah, but you're 57 years old. Your days is counted, too.
I don't care. My mama's gone.
That's a delicate situation right there.
I think being sociable helps out instead of being home and
sulking in pity, feeling sorry and sadness. Get out and get some fresh air.
Going to bingo or maybe going hanging out with some friends or maybe going to some religion of your choice.
Just getting around human traffic.
See, the elderly folk, ones that don't have a lot of money, they'll go to a fast food restaurant and buy the breakfast meal and they'll sit in the restaurant and just eat and socialize. They walked from their apartment when the weather was good and some of them drove. But what they did, instead of watching the TV all day, they get out the house.
Time is going to keep on moving, whether you're at home or out. But being out, you might meet someone to make you smile, or you may put a smile on somebody's face. Go on, take a chance.
It's take care of yourself, talk to people, get religious, spiritual community, get connected with people. There's really not much you can do. Somebody dies, just keep living, move forward.
Starting over from an addiction.
A person may have the desire to get clean or they are pushed or forced to get clean by their significant other, their employer, or by the courts.
They go to rehab. They do 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 120 days, and they sober up. Okay, starting over from that. First thing, probably would be financial. Going out and find a job. If they didn't burn too many bridges, maybe they might have a place to stay. If not, then they gotta get a place to stay too.
And then also, if you're the partner of somebody like that, you have to find the best balance between providing enough support and also balancing it with accountability, because those are two total different ends of the spectrum.
Bring that check home, don't you cash it? We need to have a direct deposit, because I'm going to have it set up in the bank that you can't withdraw. I had that nice Sony digital camera, and it disappeared on us. You was talking like Scooby-Doo. I said, where my camera at? I don't know. So you're going to trust me again. I'm going to give you allowance. But you got to think about, I trusted you. You ruined that trust. Some people have walked away from all that mess you did to me. I still love you, and I still got faith. You're going to get through this, and you're going to be fine. Now give me a kiss.
Okay, now here's $5.
That's a lot of dramatization, right? That's good stuff. That's really good stuff.
Starting over from addiction. First and foremost, Ashley says getting plugged in with a supportive network of sober people is the most important thing to do. Enrolling in an alumni group or an IOP.
Intensive outpatient program.
Prioritize your physical health. Develop, maintain a regular routine for yourself. Find new hobbies. Continue to make amends, which I'm assuming that means with your friends and family. Be wary of the signs of addiction and give yourself grace if you relapse.
Oh no, he fell off the wagon again.
Starting over from infidelity.
Ooh, that's a toughie.
It's a trust thing. Because every time they say,
I'm going out with the girls.
Or something like that, now the wheels hit the spinning. It's been a rocky weekend. They haven't really been getting along anyway.
I am not putting up with this anymore.
Putting up with what? I can't talk to people?
I am out of here.
Maybe the key with that is not starting over, because really the person who cheated has taken away the ability to start over. You can't start over. You just got to continue forward and not violate no more.
And the person that got used, they got to get past that too. Now, sometimes you can go to counseling.
You're going to have to go. Depends on, the severity of the situation and how it affected that person, because everybody has different definitions of what cheating is and what it can look like in their world.
Cheating on the phone, cheating on texting, cheating, or physical cheating, or they even have these work spouses, work husband, work wife.
I've heard about that.
My wife is going out of town. Let's go out to dinner.
I'm your work wife. All you get is good advice, conversation, a joke or two, and a hug when I need it.
But some people look at that as an affair.
It's said to make sure there is remorse when moving forward from when someone cheats. So I guess making sure that partner is remorseful, that they be honest about why it happened, that they remove temptations to re-engage after the affair, move forward with brutal honesty and care, because lying is a huge part of the betrayal. You have to have a level of transparency for as long as it takes to rebuild that trust back up again. Be selective about who you share this infidelity with, because people in your business necessarily wouldn't help heal that relationship. It could really be painful to share your secret only to have someone respond as a friend and say,
well, I wouldn't put up with that.
If I were you.
You know how that story goes.
Being open, honest, having communication is really the only thing you can do, because that trust is gone. That means you going in that phone. That phone belongs to the other partner now.
Wait a minute. If I don't show you my phone and you can't see my activities while I've been gone, it's over?
The last topic, health issue. You know, start on some health issue, disease or accident. Because, a serious accident could be a life-changing event for a person.
A life-threatening disease or tragic accident could be a relationship test.
These kind of occurrences in life, we really don't know how much we love our partner or how committed we are to our partner until we have to get tested with something major. Got a health problem, major accident or trauma, loss of job, loss of sexual function. You've got to suffer some major losses to really get tested in the relationship to find out, okay, am I really committed? Do I really love this person? Do I really want to stay married or together or partner with this person?
Wow, those are really great questions. You should ask yourself.
You don't know until you get them tests.
This is only a test.
And some relationships can withstand these tests, and some of them cannot withstand the test.
What if the person is alone? They're not in a relationship when they have this life-changing event.
I had this bad accident. I'm all broken up. I ain't got nobody, and I don't have a lot of money.
That could be an issue, too. Well, they're, they're alone, and they're struggling.
Trying to get things back to quote-unquote normal.
A lot of these concerns from what I'm looking at now on rebuilding after a health incident or a scare is really connecting with people, because a lot of what they say is reach out to loved ones, make time to meet people in person, join a support group, seek out a peer support program. It really sounds like definitely being around other people is a priority and a necessity for human function. It's only really so much you can do, I guess. It'll really depend on yourself. And it sounds like a lot of this just depends on you leaning on other people. and being vulnerable and sharing those moments with them.
Well, I'm sorry we ran out of time. It's been a great episode. 3D Up Close and Personal.
I'm David.
I'm Danielle.
And I'm Daryl. 3D Up Close and Personal. Thanks for listening. I take care.
3D Up Close and Personal, the relationship podcast.
Would like to thank you for listening.
We're on 18 different platforms.
We have 15 episodes you can listen to at any time.
People have tuned in from 12 different countries.
And we have a 4.5 star rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
3D Up Close and Personal is produced by Parks Media Group.
PMG 2025.
All rights reserved.
Like and subscribe and share.